think what we're going to do, I've got a couple more things I want to share, but I'm going to share them as a part of what we're going to do. So turn to Romans 12. We're going to start here, and then we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, where we are camping out right now. But I want to mostly today go back to something that Gabe mentioned and I mentioned at the end of the week last week, and really give us a chance to respond in prayer. Holy Spirit, please guide and direct our time. We love you and we lean into you right now. At the end of Romans 11, by the way, I just want to encourage you to always remember as we do what we're getting ready to do right now. I always encourage you, as we're reading scripture together, pay attention to what stands out to you. And then as you recognize what stands out to you, go back and flesh it out more. We're going to look at two verses here that really flow. It's moving toward the end of this long letter, right? How many of you feel like you understand like James or Ephesians when you read it all together better than you do when you read just a few verses at a time? Is anybody with me on that? Like, that's just, I get it so much better. I'm actually understanding the word to say what it's supposed to be saying when I read it in context, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So has anybody ever had this happen to you where someone took something you said and they took it out of context and they were either hurt or offended or kind of like you feel like, man, you completely missed what I was trying to say, right? Well, that happens to God all the time. Like we frame what he thinks by taking some verses here and verses there, and we kind of, it's called proof texting. And I think most of the time it's done unintentionally, but we still do it a lot. The book of Romans is harder, though, because it's a letter, but it's a long letter, right? It's a long letter, and so it's harder to read it all at once. And sometimes it reads a little bit more like a law document, where he's like really establishing like different things. But you have to remember when we jump into chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, like it's a part of something that goes before it. And it's really important if you were to look back over what he's building to. And he, like, this is a very important part. It's one of the pivots in the book of Romans, in this letter, where he says, hey, because of what I just said, now I'm going to say this, right? Therefore, well, you don't start a conversation by saying therefore. So I would encourage you, if you haven't, go back and look at how we got to this point. Okay, I'm just going to just come that last verse, but there's more than just this last verse in chapter 11. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So there's this cascade. There's this tide that's coming in scripture. And he finishes up what we call the end of chapter 11. He finishes that up by saying that everything, all things, are for him and for his glory. How many of you were here last week or you heard the podcast last week? Okay. We finished last week talking about the glory of God. How many of you had a chance to read Ephesians this week? How many of you have read about the glory of God this week? In Ephesians, that this is what this is all about, for the praise of his glory. So we're starting. I want to mention this because now we come into this place that I think that we struggle. And I'm sure that we struggle as individuals. I believe that we struggle as a local community. And I also see that the body of Christ struggles with these scriptures. Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, Therefore, beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've talked about this before, but I was convicted this week as I was listening to Gabe's teaching from last week. We've mentioned that sometimes it's hard for us to consider our bodies as holy. But I don't know if we've ever taken time to deal with it together. How many of you have prayed the prayer with us over the last year and a half of God, come and change the way I think? How many of you have been doing that, right? Is that an easier prayer for you to pray than, God, come change the way I think. Make me think the way I do. Then God, help me see my body as holy. Does anybody else struggle with that? See, this is not rhetorical. Yeah? Why could we struggle with that? There's multiple reasons, but let's just have a little conversation here. Seems kind of weird. How many of you would agree with Dan Wilson that seeing your body as a holy, acceptable sacrifice, as an offering, seems strange? Raise your hand. All right. That is not the way that we think. All right. There's a few more reasons I have in mind. Let's see what is on your heart. Why else do we have a hard time really considering presenting our bodies as holy offering, as an act of worship? Culture is defined about what we think about our bodies. What does culture say about our bodies? Okay. How many of you agree with that? We would say that our body is our own. Yeah? Cool. Anyone else? What else does the culture say about our body? Okay, sexual. How many of you would agree that the way that the world sees our body and the way the church sees our body, they're often very different, right? So how does the church see the body? Now, I'm not condemning the whole church. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's fine. But what do you think the overall thought about our flesh is in the body of Christ? Sinful, bad. Sorry. I mean, that's there. It's in there. Yeah. Shameful. How about this? Has anybody thought, even if you don't feel bad or shameful, that the body is just insignificant? Right? Is that their place? The body is just, our flesh isn't that important. Right? Now, what about the world? How does the world see our body? Well, okay, so we could at least say that people see their body as like, hey, it's mine, I can do what I want to with it, right? Is there a philosophy, I feel like I'm in 1973, is there a philosophy that says if it feels good, do it? If it feels right, do it. Okay? So I can do what I want with my body, it's none of your business, that kind of thing. All right, so... Well, I mean, no, we have a lot of them, but we have, this is this weird dichotomy, right? Between this thing is like, how many of you would say that we have a lot of body image issues in the world and in the church, but there's body image issues, right? So it is one reason it's hard for us to like really consider, I mean, for most of us, really consider ourselves a holy acceptable offering is we don't look at ourselves in the mirror and like, wow, God. That was a really good job. I mean, sometimes, right? Bear had been working out one time, and we were at a gathering. We were at a gathering in St. Louis, and there is like this big hotel like conference room, but there's these weird columns, kind of like imagine downstairs, those cement columns that are in the brick columns that are in the middle of the floor. They were surrounded by mirrors. And I was standing there with my friend Aaron Snow, and he's like, Bear, what are you doing? Bear's just like looking in the mirror. He's just kind of checking himself out, just worshiping, you know. Good job, God, you know. Some of you might do that, but for a lot of us, I mean, guys, I remember interaction that Adrian and I had with a beautiful young lady. She was 17 years old, and I mean, she walked in the room. The first time she came to church, she walked in the room, and there was a gasp. At her beauty, it was just, she was breathtakingly beautiful. And it was just easier to relate to her. Like, it was easy to relate to her thinking she knew that. And she had a conversation with her one time about a guy who had said something, and he'd reached over and he'd grabbed her leg and told her how fat, look at your leg, look how fat your leg is. I couldn't believe it. This beautiful girl that all the guys were like, wow, and all the girls were like, wow. The way she saw herself was completely different. So we have this idea of we struggle with body image, and then we have this idea that says our body's ours, we can do whatever we want. The church says, hey, your body's insignificant. Is there any other reasons why we might say it's hard to present our bodies as holy? Okay? All right, so false humility. Dylan, you have something? Yeah, the body is a temple. That's right. That's what God says, and we're going to look at that in Ephesians. It's one of our little passages about what God says about the body. But, Gabe, what are you thinking? Yeah. I will say that I have taught this a ton, and we haven't made space to talk about this. What does it mean to give our bodies? What does it mean to present ourselves? How does that affect my everyday life? How does that affect the way I interact with you? There's a lot of implication here. Jenna. That's really good. I mean, especially if you want to take the invitation and go back and read what he's talking about in chapters 9, 10, and 11, you'll understand a lot more about the sacrifice. But how many of you can say that you just have struggled at times with the feeling of worthiness? So that even ties into what Abby's saying. I mean, sometimes I don't know if I'm worthy, or it was almost like if I feel like I am worthy, then maybe that's pride. Does that make sense? Anything else? I feel like there's one big area we haven't touched on yet. Anything else in your heart? And I'll tell you what I see. Past sin. How easy is it for it to identify our bodies with past failure or past sin? Guys, do you know there are people that I know and love, and they feel almost guilty because they don't have a past that's full of physical and sexual brokenness. Yeah. Because they feel like in a time where everybody's had some kind of struggle, it's like if they don't, they feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? I've actually had men talk to me and said, is there something wrong with me because I don't struggle with pornography? Does that make sense? I mean, what are you believing for your son? What are we believing for our daughter, right? I mean, but like we've got to decide now what we're going to raise our kids to. Are we going to raise our kids with the idea of like, hey, you're probably going to be in addiction for a while because that's what happens. I had this idea, well, everybody struggles with this. And I thought, man, that is not faith. Like what? Just because of my experience, why would I want to prophesy my experience on my kids? Now, that doesn't mean like, man, that doesn't mean that I have the ability to, I know my parents wanted to keep everything away from me. But do you see how much we have that goes into the way we see our bodies? You know, and because we've had a lot of weddings recently, because we have couples getting engaged and we have babies, like it's on the forefront of my mind a lot of just like, as we head into this talk about sexuality, like, guys, if we don't have God's design set and established in our heart for what he says about our body, we will find ourselves conforming to a different pattern by default. Does that make sense? Now, stay with me, guys. Because I want to connect these two scriptures. I want us today to have, in just a few minutes, a place of just invitation. And for some of you, I mean, the conversation I had with Jason and Laurie about what to do with her purity ring. That's a good conversation. But I've had other conversations with people who come from all kinds of brokenness and they've given their lives to Jesus, or they've had brokenness after they've given their life to Jesus and then they said, God, I want your best for our marriage. And you know what? Those conversations are good too. God has got a plan for the redemption of our lives, but it must come into alignment with his designs for our bodies. Does that make sense? Yes. I will try. If there must be a place where we are bringing our thought life, where we're bringing verse 2 into alignment with verse 1, where we are asking God to renew our minds, not after. We can't forget about what he said in verse 1 and just start in verse 2. And for a lot of us, it is easier to ask God to renew our mind while leaving our body the way it is. I was nowhere close to repeating what I said, but I'd already moved on. I was trying, it was faith to finish that sentence, like going back. But we must get to a place where what we believe and what we see, we recognize that God has got a design and we make his design the goal of our thinking. His design, the goal of the way we're living. Where we don't look at what's happening. We don't conform to what Paul says in Colossians are the broken principles or the basic principles of this world. Paul says some silly stuff, right? Have you ever read that statement where he says, why are you living like mere mortals? Why are you just living like a human? Did you forget who you are? Why are you thinking like a human being? Why are you living your life according to the basic? Why are you living your life according to common sense when you have something else you could be living life according to? So this doesn't diminish what we've taught in chapter or verse 2, not to be conformed, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But today, as a family, I want to give you and give me and then give us an opportunity to say, God, we don't just want your best for our minds, but we say yes to what you have for our bodies. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little overweight. And thanks, Dan, I appreciate it. Do you know that like the decision to want to lose weight doesn't like happen immediately? I don't know if you know this or not, but like I've wanted to be in good shape for a long time. But wanting that has not meant that that's happened. But part of what this scripture means to me is, man, writing down everything I'm eating and drinking and exercising and becoming aware of what I'm doing and remembering that I said this is a sacrifice to God, that the way I treat, can I just be completely honest with you? I get overwhelmed sometimes when I look and see what God is doing in relationships in the body of Christ, and I recognize, how can I be a steward of his body if I'm not stewarding mine? How can I steward what I value in his body and pretend that there's not a connection to the way I'm stewarding mine? Does that make sense to you? Go ahead and flip over to Ephesians because I don't want to lose the plot. Flip over to Ephesians. Let me just tell you this as we're on the way. Guys, the reason why there's such a big need to do what we did last week and then to look at these things in Ephesians is because we have to ask God to come and baptize us in truth, to immerse us in his truth. Because I believe what we need is a drastic mind shift in the way that we see and the way that we live when it comes to how we regard the body. Now, so in some ways, I'm just gonna tell you, when we get to Ephesians like 4 and 5, Paul goes back in like chapter 5, he says, you think I'm talking about this, but I'm actually talking about this. You think I'm talking about a husband and wife, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. That's not the only place he does that. One of the things that's gonna come up as we talk about sexuality is how do we deal with sexual sin? But I don't want our view of sexuality to be all about sin. I want it to be about God's design. But do you know, even whenever Paul is explaining why sexual sin is different than other sin, how many of you guys knew that, right? Have you read that? All sin's the same. Well, read 1 Corinthians. He said, hey, sexual sin's different because you're doing it to the body. And then he immediately pivots back to talking about Jesus and the body. So we have to be able to see these things together if we're going to get like what he's saying. Otherwise, we'll just be pulling out one thread and saying, oh, I know what God says. So I wish there was a nice, neat package that I could give this to you in like 3 45-minute messages, but there's just not a chance that I'm equipped to do that. And now I'm like happy about that. Because here's the deal. If I can understand God's design, then we can get excited about the gift of sexuality. And what would it look like for people who love Jesus to be really excited about the freedom that God has for us to walk in our sexuality? Instead of, for most people, for most believers, I believe this. I didn't mean to say that. I believe this about most believers. Their biggest thought about sexuality is fear they're going to screw up. And how many of you know there's no fear in love? But all of creation, Romans says, is eagerly awaiting for the liberty of the children of God. If we could walk this out in sexuality, guys, we could lead so many people to a place of hope and to a place of perpetual hopelessness. How many of you have friends and family members that their sexuality has been nothing but a place of continuous tripping up, right? And just hopelessness. That's what their experience has been, but God's got a greater truth. All right, man, this is hard. All right. It is really, it's important, and it's holy, set apart. So I'm going to ask you right now, as we read a few verses, we're going to read a few verses in Ephesians, out of Ephesians 1 and 2. We're not going to read the whole passage. We're going to read a few verses, and I'm going to ask you to be considering the holiness of your body, and then we're going to have an invitation, okay? All right, Holy Spirit, help us in Jesus' name. Raise your hands again if you've been reading Ephesians 1 and 2 with the context of what Gabe asked last week, that we're studying. You've read the book of Ephesians, studying what God says about the body. Really quickly, what has stood out to you about what God says to us as a collective people? Okay, we become accepted together and beloved. Anything else? That's the kind of answer I'm looking for. We belong together with each other, to each other, and my belonging with God is together with you. That's important. Anything else? There's some stuff in there that just feels like, man, that's crazy good. The riches of his grace been lavished on us. Do you read the part that says the inheritance of God is in the saints? You are the bank account where the inheritance is stored, Graber. That's crazy. You know the word that stood out to me most this time reading it this week was the word us. Oh my goodness. There's very few me's. There's very few yous, but there's a whole lot of us. There's a whole lot of us. So guys, as we build some things that are important, I want you to know the flow of how this is breaking down, where he starts out by telling them how they are blessed already with every blessing in spiritual realms. But let's look down toward the end of chapter 1. He says, therefore I also, in verse 15, after I heard of the faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he goes into this apostolic prayer that we're going to just read through this and get it to this place that I want to build off of. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of revelation, or wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age that is to come. All right, I will be honest with you. Whenever I read that, those kind of verses, they're so dense and there's so much in them that it's kind of like, I just got to get through this. And maybe one thing stands out. But if you go back and you actually look at it as line upon line, you will find that he is telling them really good news. And he's saying, hey, this is for you guys together. But what we want to build on coming out of this week, because as we go into, especially the end of chapter 3, 4, and 5, if we don't get a picture of what he's saying about the body of Christ, we will miss the pivot he makes when he's talking about relationships between a man and a woman, husband and wife, and the idea of being one flesh. We'll miss it. So I want us to go here. Look at this last verse here, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jason and Laurie, can you be brave and come here for a second? Everybody pray for Jason and Laurie right now. Pray that they're still my friends after this is done. How are you guys doing? You feeling brave? All right, here we go. So in this situation, I knew Laurie before I knew Jason. And in fact, I only met Jason because I knew Laurie. Okay, but I want to talk a little bit about what God has to say about one flesh and about a husband and a wife and about a head and a body. Okay, now, who in verse 22, who was Jesus given to as the head? Who was he given to? Given to the church. Why is that significant? Well, let's think about this, okay? Jason, go away for a second. Just get on the floor or something. In this picture, if I have a body without the head, what do I have? A corpse, right? I mean, there's a story of a headless horseman, but is there any viability of a body without a head being able to live, move, and have a being? No. My only way, right, of if I'm a body of having life is because I'm connected to the head. Now, stand up. Laura, you can sit or move away for a second. What stories can you think of where there's a head and there's no body? What's that? And what happened to John the Baptist? That was different than where I was going, but. All right, but, I mean, he's dead. I mean, listen, here's what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He said, from all the days until now, there's never been one greater than him. But the days of John the Baptist stopped the moment his body was severed from his head. What Jesus says about John the Baptist is crazy. But those days ended the moment there was disconnection between the head and the body. Have you ever seen the old movie, The Wizard of Oz? And we got a head with no body, and he is absolutely just useless. He's actually a little man hiding behind the curtain, right? Listen, as we read, we'll find that there's a plan for the body and the head to be connected and for the head to be submitted to the body. But do you recognize that Jesus, in all of his power and glory and majesty, as a matter of fact, in these first two chapters, several times it says that all of this is for the praise of his glory. It's all for the praise of his glory. But Jesus has harnessed his greatness to be connected to a body. Come back, body. Now watch this. Together, that's nice. I'll face them, not me, that's good. Last time I was together with it, listen, this couple waited to kiss until they got married. And because of the church that we were standing in, it was the closest I'd ever been to a first kiss or to any kiss. They did a good job. They asked for impartation and we prayed. Adrian prayed for them. They did it, but I mean, guys, listen. They have been moving toward connection. And this is what we're building to, guys. Our understanding of the body and sexuality needs to be connected to the purpose that God has for the body and sexuality. Our understanding of the body of Christ needs to be in connection to the purpose that God had in his design for creating the body of Christ. Here's what it says. It sounds like blasphemy, but he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. It's very easy for us to get in worship times and pray, God, we want your fullness. Where does he say that his fullness dwells? In us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're waiting for a glory cloud to show up. Guys, I'm not against glory clouds. I love it when things like that happen. But I tell you, there's a deposit that we carry. And until we understand that the inheritance of God is in the saints, let me ask one more question. What's the purpose of sex? How many of you would agree with the idea that the purpose, God's design for sex is about connection? Do you agree with that? If God's design for sex was just reproduction, then even the lady from 19 Kids and Counting only had a successful, she only fulfilled God's purpose 19 times. Does that make sense? But if God's purpose, and if we find that God's purpose in making us be sexual beings was to build connection and build one flesh, guys, then we need to understand his purpose in the body. Is that as we connect with each other, we're connecting with him. It is holy. Do you understand? Listen, if I get this wrong and it's not holy, it can get messed up real quick. Everybody stand to your feet. You guys can go sit down. The fullness of him only comes when the head is connected to the body. Guys, it's not holier. It's not holier for us to envision a Christ that's disconnected to his body. He calls us to walk in connection. Just put your hands on your hearts for a second. I'm going to read these last few verses of chapter 2 that says the same thing in a little different way. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints of the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. In the Spirit. It's his desire to fill his people. It's his desire to fill his body with the fullness of his Spirit. Guys, that's not to make us some kind of super Christians. It's all for the display of his glory. It's all for the display of his glory. Holy Spirit, I ask for just your help right now. What I want to do is just take a few minutes. If you need to leave, you can leave. But I want to take a few minutes and call as individuals and together for us to consider the holiness of the body. We spent 6 weeks focusing on our identity that we have as individuals. Now, as we teach some of the things we're going to teach, if you forget that, things will get out of balance. They'll get out of tension. And what we're going to teach that I believe is right from the Word of God about our identity and our belonging together, don't allow the enemy to strip you from a personal relationship with God. That's not what we're saying. But we are saying we were created. Paul says this, you are the body and individually you're members. Members of what? A body. Each of you are joints. I'm a joint. My place in the body doesn't just call for me to give. My place in the body to be properly fitted, I need to give and receive. That's the same thing for you. So there's two elements of this I want us to do. First is to say, as individuals, as sons, as daughters, as those who have a relationship with a heavenly Father, I want to encourage you to today. And for some of you, you may say, I'm just going to stand right here where I'm at and I'm not going to move. And for others of you, you may want to like leave. For me, it's often helpful to leave the place where I am, to make a move. But if you have struggled to really see the presenting of your body as something holy to God, then I want to ask you, I want to invite you to today, like, say, God, by faith. I love what Cody said earlier. Sometimes we sing things like, wow, can I back that up? No, I am giving you the posture of my heart. I am making this my prayer. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. So I would love to invite you as individuals just to take 2 minutes and right now begin to deal with just giving yourself as a gift to God. God, I just give you my body. For some of you, that might be those reasons we talked about earlier. Maybe there's some shame attached to something. Maybe there's hard time seeing it worthy. You know, for me, I just have had a lot of like really bad habits, really impoverished ways of thinking about my body that like learning, it's not easy. I will not see the long-term effects of the decisions I need to make. I will not see it tomorrow or next week or next month. It'll be a long, lifelong, it'll make it be a long-term commitment. And I'm going to need help. But right now, let's just deal with the Lord. Lord, I just give you my body. Just begin to pray. Again, if you need to move, move. For some of you, you've prayed this prayer before. That's okay. Just give a fresh offering again. I just bless you no matter where you are today. Some of you have had families, you've had parents that taught you to set yourself and set your body apart. I bless you. For those of you who feel more like you've just been in line of like failure and it seems hard to consider this holy, I bless you. God, we just pray this would change the way we see things. Yeah, we don't speak a heavy weight over you. We speak hope in life. We speak encouragement. We speak the desire of God. Yeah, God, I just pray that in the midst of giving this offering to you, we break off comparison right now in Jesus' name. Break off comparison in Jesus' name, God, so the offering we give to you becomes yours and not held in the light of what how it stacks up against someone else's offering. In Jesus' name. Bless, yeah, we bless this right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Every place the enemy is manipulated, places where he's manipulated our thinking, God, we just bless you and we give ourselves to you. We get ready to move on. I just want to encourage you in this. Set your eyes on things above. Set your eyes on his design, on his plan. Don't allow your eyes to be pulled into places of brokenness. Allow your eyes to be fixed on the beauty of his glorious design for your body. We're going to finish our time in praying and just asking for God in our own body together. I want us to do that, and I want to set this up just a moment. We're going to pray for John and Anna as they move into marriage. We want to send them into marriage. But I want to do that like as we recognize, as God has a design for a man and a woman to become one, God has a design for his people to walk as one with him. And I would just want us to come and gather, not just as individuals, but just to come and say, God, we come together with you and we come around them and begin to pray that as we pray for them to go into their wedding, but more importantly than just the wedding, but as they go into their marriage, that they would always be moving toward connection. That as we do that, we're saying, God, would you teach us how to always be moving into more connection with you as we grow in relationship with each other? Does that make sense? All right, come on. Let's come gather around them right now. Guys, we're doing this to pray for them, but we're also doing this as an act of love, an act of faith, an act of setting ourselves apart. Guys, do you know how holy it is to be able to bless a couple moving into marriage? Do you recognize the awesome privilege we have of seeing families form? I don't know what the government will say that marriage means, but I know that this is in God's heart. This was not the idea of some senators or some judges to define marriage. God starts the story of humanity out by saying it's not good for man to be alone. So right now, guys, let's just take a couple minutes and just speak blessings out to them. Right now, let's just begin to pray blessings over them. Thank you, God. God, we pray. God, I pray that as we're here, that God, more than just a picture, more than an illustration, that as we gather together around John and Anna, God, would you come and would there be a transaction in our spirit together with you? God, as we pray for them to be always moving toward each other, as we pray for them to be always moving toward connection, God, growing together more and more with every week, God, with every day, as we pray for them to put on display more and more what it means to be one flesh, God, is our desire that we grow in that connection with you. God, it is our desire that together with all the saints, we grasp how wide and how high and how long and how deep. God, we say that what we sang earlier is true. We can't do that on our own, but God, your word says that we can together. So God, we lean into you. We say we don't know really how to do this. Just like there are things that John and Anna will run into that they won't know how to do. God, that there's a grace for connection. God, there's a grace In the midst of all of our imperfections, God, as we come together. So bind us together in love as we wait for you, King Jesus, our bridegroom. And as we pray for John and Anna right now, God, we pray for a baptism of love. God, we pray that every step that they take this week, God would be moving more and more to covenant. God, more and more into covenant. God, we pray, come on, let's pray for John right now. God, we pray for John to be strengthened with strength in his inner man right now in Jesus' name. He would be strengthened with strength in his inner man, that the confidence that comes with being a son of God would be released in him right now. God, right now, we as individual members of the body, we release strength to our brother, to our friend, in Jesus' name, God. In Jesus' name, we bless you, John. We bless you to walk in confidence. We bless you to love and to lead and to lay down your life for your bride. We bless you to keep your head up with your face pointed towards your Father. We bless you to walk in the light of the King's face and find life. God, we pray that in this entering in of covenant, that places in John's heart would burst to life. That in your design for marriage, where you said it's not good for man to be alone, that John would realize he is walking into a greater dimension of your design for him as he commits to be with one forever. Come on. That's good. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. God, we thank you for God's, for your best plan for Anna. God, I thank you that so many of the desires in her heart to be known. God, we pray that as she goes into this covenant, God, as she walks in, God, she would know that heaven is with her. God, she would have the assurance that you are with her. We bless you, Anna, right now. We bless you right now to grow and the ability for your heart to just be desired. And in the midst of you being free to receive that, that yeah, your response to that would put on display. We pray that we would learn more about what it looks like for the body of Christ to be alive in worship, to be alive in love as we watch you grow in receiving love and receiving desire. We just bless you. And as you take these steps towards your covenant this week, and as you get married this week, we just pray that you would be sent out strongly into marriage. We pray that you would sense the Holy Spirit's breath. Guys, just lean into this for just a minute more. This is a holy covenant. Can you just take your hands right now, put your hands on your own heart? Gabe said this last week, and it was so important. We have talked about our whole existence, and the scriptures have been around for 2,000 years, that the world would recognize that we belong to him by the way we love each other. I would submit to you that if we cannot present our bodies as holy, if we cannot present ourselves as holy, we will feel disqualified to move in that level of love. We will have to guard ourselves because we're not sure of others' intentions. And guys, I'm not saying that we don't walk in a sense of wisdom and discernment, but I'm saying like God is calling us together as a people to say, we are set ourselves apart as a holy people, so we're not gonna be afraid to walk and move in love. So right now, as we have our hands extended to this couple that's getting ready to set themselves apart for covenant, we just pray for ourselves that we would grow in a measure of understanding of the holiness of the invitation to walk together as one. Purify our heart, God. As we say yes to you and set ourselves apart to you, purify our heart, God. Purify our motives. God, may we be empowered more to love each other deeply from the heart with purity and sincerity. A part of what you said you would do at the end was turning the hearts of fathers to children, the hearts of children to fathers. Jesus, you came and you came as fully God and as fully man, but you came and you introduced yourself as a son. God, we recognize even today the celebration of a couple who's just getting engaged and laying hands on a couple who's getting ready to get married and celebrating a couple who's just been married and holding babies. We recognize, God, that in our lives together, that you have got a good thing in family. God, I pray right now for every single person here that has a desire for family. God, I pray that the fire of your love would be poured out, that there would be hope, that disappointment would not rule their hearts. God, but that hopefulness. God, bring our ideas and our priorities in line with you. God, as married couples, God, I pray that you would pour out the fire of your love on us, that we would be willing to share. And that God is one part. Guys, we are not the body. We are one part of the body. Maybe, like, we're not even like a whole hand. Maybe we're like a knuckle or something. Yeah. So, God, would you just release a grace for the body at a cellular level that we would understand that each joint supplies the need of the other? God, I thank you for these last few weeks, even in worship, as new people have been releasing their gifts in worship. God, I pray that as people grow in relationship, God, even as like what you've been speaking to Mitch about connection to the body, God, is that we would make room for more than just the people that we're already used to, but God, that we would make room, that we would humble ourselves to the holiness of your design. Yeah. And God, more words than I know how to pray, would we, as we just say, we humble ourselves to the holiness of your design, we welcome you to come as we give our bodies to come and transform and renew our minds. Don't stop praying, guys. Even as we finish here today, don't stop praying. Praying always with all kinds of prayers for the saints. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Derek, if you're still here, if you could send a text out to everyone who's left. But if you're here this week, let's just really hover over Ephesians 3 and 4. And we'll focus on those in our small groups this week. If you're not in a small group and you want to be, please like talk to me and get you connected. But like Ephesians 3 and 4, looking, what does it mean for us to live life as the body? Thank you, God.